Well, you may not have thought about it this way, but today the Christmas story is now complete. That tiny child that was born in manger hay in Bethlehem has lived quite a life, and we have somehow condensed the life of this tiny child, all 33 years of it, into these past 5 months, beginning with the expectations and leading to the Christmas birth in December, all the way to right now, May 16th, on this Ascension Sunday. We can say that the Christmas story is now complete. This tiny child that was born to a scandal-plagued woman and a lowly carpenter has grown to live a life of miracle works and incredible teaching and rising to fame throughout the land. This tiny child that was born without trumpet fanfare and not in front of massive crowds would later experience in his life the massive crowds at the streets of Jerusalem, crying out praises to him, yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And this tiny child, born in the most inconspicuous way, we can say now, 5 months later, 33 years later, has fulfilled his mission on earth. He has fulfilled his mission to God and for all humanity. From manger to cross, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, we've really walked quite a journey, haven't we? Just in these past couple months, we have read and heard the stories of all the people that Jesus encountered, about that dying young man whose mother had just enough faith that even though she was a foreigner, was able to have her child healed. About that young man who was lying at the pool near Siloam, this miracle pool, and was unable because of his handicap to get into that pool. Well, Jesus came by and healed him. Dozens and dozens, hundreds of people who needed healing, and Jesus healed them, and their lives have been transformed. It's very possible that in these past 5 months we haven't really heard a story that we're not familiar with already. In fact, for those of us who have been in the church long enough, these stories we have heard over and over and over again. So I'm not interested this morning in rehashing the stories. I'm more interested in this morning realizing that we have changed. That we have changed since Jesus has come to earth. That in just these past 5 months, there have been some remarkable developments in our lives. Just think about what you have gone through since last year. All the joys and the triumphs, as well as the tragedies and sorrows that you have faced. Because even though these are old, old stories that we tell, we have new lives that we live every day. Because the Christian experience, Jesus never said would be easy, but it certainly is never dull or boring. Just think about in the life of this church, the stories that we have shared of joy, even this past week, as Craig and Janie have shared this wonderful news in the past 5 months of this new life that is going to be coming to join us. And all of the wonderful things that have happened to each of you. But I know that you can't also forget the stories of trauma and tragedy and of suffering that you have felt and of loved ones have felt. Indeed, brothers and sisters, as we have celebrated the life of Christ, we have also realized that our lives continue. And we bring to this morning a mixed bag of emotions. Well, let's step into the story for a moment. This story that's recorded in Luke, that's recorded in all the Gospels of Jesus' last few moments on earth with his disciples. The disciples have lived quite a life in just the 3 or so years that they have been with Jesus. They have watched as all of these miracles have happened, some of them at their own hands. And they have watched all of the triumph that Jesus had accomplished, as well as the bitter disappointment that they felt. But the incredible thing about this passage this morning is that Jesus had one more curveball to throw them. One more moment of tragedy in their lives to give them. It was that he was leaving them physically for good. What an incredible curveball to deal with for these disciples. Sure, they knew Jesus had gone before, but he had come back in 3 days. I wonder if some of them were thinking, sure, Jesus, you're leaving. Yeah, right. But we know that you'll be back really in a couple days, right? But Jesus knew that this time it was going to be for good. That when Jesus went home, he was going home, home. Going up to heaven. And you might be wondering, what were the disciples thinking as they watched Jesus ascend up into heaven? What were they thinking as this man that they had given their lives to was now leaving them for good? What would their reaction be? What would your reaction be when someone as dear to you goes home? You might be surprised to hear the reaction of the disciples on this day of ascension. Because the scriptures say that they were joyful. They worshiped Jesus. They went home to Jerusalem with joy filling their hearts, and they went to the temple every day, blessing God. Not quite the reaction you would think about a final farewell. Indeed, this was a joyful farewell. And what's more, and this is the real kicker to me, that when we meet the disciples again, it's in the book of Acts. And when we see them again, these are disciples that we had not seen before. Bold disciples, courageous disciples, on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit descends on them, with a fearless faith, with an incredible courage to preach the gospel, to broadcast the good news to everyone. What happened to these disciples? Because when we meet them in the Gospels, they're full of fear and doubt. But when we meet them again, after this Ascension Sunday, they're full of power. They're full of courage. And though they have been through quite a lot, their lives were just beginning. So what was it about Ascension Sunday that changed their lives? I really think that on this day, they started to figure it out. I think they finally got the Easter message for what it really was supposed to be. Hear Jesus' words as he shares with them in Luke. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You know what Jesus is really saying here? The words that would change the disciples' lives forever? Jesus is saying, this has all been part of a plan, dear ones. And what's part of the plan now is for me to go up. It's a plan that was established from the very beginning by God, who knew that humanity needed a Messiah and a Savior, and you have seen this plan unfold. The plan that the psalmists could only dream about, the plan that the prophets could only foresee, the plan that humanity generations ago had been waiting for, you have had the privilege to see unfold before you. What a privilege for them. And that was a reason for great joy. But that wasn't all of it. Because Jesus says in this passage that not only have you been witnesses to this plan that generations have been crying for, you are now part of the ongoing plan after I'm gone. And what transformed the disciples' lives was that now they realized that they are part of a plan that was bigger than themselves. And they were given purpose and mission in their lives. What a remarkable transformation takes place in any young person when they determine for themselves what their purpose is in life and what their mission is and how God is supposed to use them. What an incredible joy for David as he has realized in these past couple months that one of his purposes and missions in his life is now to become a preacher. And now to share in the mission field of Belize. What a remarkable transformation that will happen in all of our young people when they figure out what it is that God has for them. And that's what happened to the disciples on Ascension Sunday. They realized that God needed them. That God needed them to be part of a plan that began unfolding since the moment of the fall, and now they were needed by God, and they were given purpose and reason to be part of God's kingdom, part of God's mission to save their world, a mission that would begin in Jerusalem, but ultimately would spread throughout the entire world. George Bernard Shaw once wrote, "This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, that the one being thoroughly worn out before you are thrown on the scrap heap, and being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." If you come into this place this morning as a clod of ailments and grievances, believing that the world is there just to make you unhappy, realize what the disciples realized on Ascension Sunday, that you are an integral part of an ongoing plan to spread the good news, to reach out to those who are lost. That is you. That's not the person sitting next to you, not your neighbor, not the one you read about in books or hear about in sermons. The one that's needed is you. You are the one that God needs to continue the important work of seeking the lost, of spreading the message of salvation to everyone who has yet not heard it, to defend the lowly, to raise the community, to love the unloved. I like this story about Dan Rather. I don't know if you knew this, but he has a good way of keeping his professional objective in mind as he delivers the evening news. He has written on a little slip of paper that he keeps in his billfold and one in his pocket and one on his desk, the same phrase on all three slips of paper. The question asks, is what you are doing now helping the broadcast? And no matter where he turns, as he's delivering the news, he's reminded of that single mission in his life in relation to broadcasting the news, is what you are doing now helping the broadcast. And that helps him stay on mission. Brothers and sisters, is what you are doing now helping the broadcast of the good news of the gospel to those who have not yet heard it? Because once you start to align your life in the direction that God has to broadcast that good news through you, then you experience incredible joy when there should be sorrow, when you experience triumph when there should be tragedy. I pray that the Church of Jesus Christ, and even this church, Bethel Church, won't fall the same fate as the University Christian Church in New York in 1963. Back in 1963, this church in New York shut its doors for the final time. Closed its doors, and on the front door, they placed a sign that said, "Gone out of business." Didn't know what our business was. How sad. May this church never fall that fate. Closing its doors because we didn't know what our business was. The business that the disciples received and started long ago, that we continue now as part of an ongoing plan to broadcast the good news, to seek those who are lost, to defend the orphans and the widows and the lowly. And what will happen to this church when we align ourselves with God's plan? We will receive incredible joy. The same joy that you can feel when you align yourself with God's will and God's purpose in your life, to do what Jesus has commanded you, as is recorded by another gospel writer at the end of his gospel, when Jesus says to his disciples and says to you, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Joyful news indeed. Let's share it with others. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the sustainer of us all. Amen.